I'd like to say good morning and welcome to everyone this morning, especially our visitors. We thank you for coming to choosing to come and worship with us at State Line. And we're enriched by you being here, so thank you. And I would like to encourage all our members to, if you have an opportunity after we're dismissed, just take a minute and say hello and invite them back again if they travel this way. Or if it is there in this area, you're welcome to come anytime. As was announced, Gail is our preacher, and he's in Sierra Leone this morning. And so we're thankful for him, and I ask that you remember him in your prayers all this week, next week, and the week after. He's going to be there 3 weeks. So just keep them, him and the other men there in prayers so that the work that they're doing could prosper for their safety and health, that everything would go well and that they'd arrive back here with us safely and that we can rejoice at that time. I want to begin this morning in Psalms, in chapter 119. Psalms 119, verses 36 and 37. It says, yes, 36 and 37. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. We want to be those that would have our hearts directed towards God's commandments, toward his wisdom, toward his understanding, and not our own. We want to know what God's will is at all times, and we want that to be in our heart, and not to covetousness, or some translations would say selfishness. And the context here is that we don't want to be self-serving. We don't want to be a people that are just looking for gain for ourselves, because that is going to be something that would hinder us from having our hearts inclined to God's ways. We want to be revived in his way, and that's something that we're going to continually have happen in our life as we study God's word, as we look at it, as we look in a mirror, and we're going to, from time to time, we're going to have to correct ourselves because we are going to go after selfishness. We are going to go after covetousness. We are going to go after our own way. We're going to want to do our thing, and we're going to be the one who wants to be pleased rather than being those that please God. And that's nothing where it is that any of us can point the finger at another and give blame, because we all are in this flesh, and we all will have the times when it is that we're going to have to be corrected. And the thing is, as far as we want to do, is we want to correct ourselves. God will correct us, and we thank him for that. When he does that, in whatever way he brings it about, we want to be a very a thankful people for that. And so I know as JJ related it, there's one gentleman said I love me some me. And sometimes we can be that way. And of course, we should love ourselves, shouldn't we? In the right way. Yeah, we should conduct ourselves in a way that we can love ourselves, that we can look in God's words and we see that we're practicing what it is that he desires us to, and that's good. But we don't want to be those as far as that would excess in that and just think that I'm it and that everything's for me, everything revolves around me. It revolves around God, whether it's my family, my work, whatever it is, whatever I'm a part of. It's God that we've got to direct our attention to and be those that are mindful to want to serve him and do what it is that he desires, because that's our best interest. We got to remind ourselves that it's always our best interest, because he has our best interest in mind. You know, the scriptures talk about it, how it is as far as the many are his thoughts towards us. And, of course, he wants everything to be good for us, and that we follow his wisdom, and that we're not giving attention and putting our eyes on worthless things, on things that they're just illusions. That are of this life and this flesh, things that can attract our attention and that we can go after, we can have a desire for, and we want to bring it and take it to ourselves, but it's just an illusion of giving us happiness. It's just an illusion of giving us freedom. It's not real or lasting. It's vanity, as was mentioned this morning. It's vain, and it's just something as far as that it doesn't last long. What we're looking for and what we want to keep our eyes on is what is going to be lasting and continual. In Psalms, in chapter 123, verses 1 and 2. Unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of a servant looks to the hand of their masters, and the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy on us. That's what we want to be, those that desire, that our hearts are inclined toward this, that we're lifting our eyes up to God, and that we're like the servants that are looking to the hand of our masters. We want to know what it is that our master wants us to perform. We want to be enriched by what it is he gives us, what he provides us. We want to know that the provision that I need, that it's from him. And so we look to him, and we continue to, and we keep our eyes in where it is that it needs to be, if it is that we're going to be a people that are not going to give ourselves over to self, to flesh. But we want to be those as far as that we look to the Spirit. We look to not so much focus too much on this world. We have to live here, and God provides for us here. But we realize that we have a better world that's coming. We have a heavenly, where it is that we're citizens of, and that's what it is we want to look to. That's what we want to keep our eyes on, so that we can accomplish what it is that we need to do, not only to get ourselves there as we would continue in obedience to our Lord, but to share it with others what it is that we have, and try to bring someone else along with us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, and it gives us just a view here of what it is as far as that we have, and what it is that we want to continually be encouraged in. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You know, that's the thing as far as, you know, we've escaped that if we're in Christ. But it's something as far as that it wants to attach itself to us again. And even this flesh that we live in, this body, and this nature that we have that's of the flesh, it wants to go back to that. It wants to be drawn to what it is that we've escaped. But we got to keep running. We got to keep running to Jesus. We got to keep running to the one who supplies our needs. And that was the topic of my lesson this morning, is keeping our eyes on Jesus. We want to look to him. So he's given us by his divine power, he's given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. He's called us to glory and virtue. And he's given us these promises. And that's what it is for us. As we look to him, as we keep our eyes on him, this is what it is that we're going to be sure to obtain. If we, and it's a continual progress in our life and the living for Christ. You know, we want to see that we're growing, that we're making changes. We don't want to just be as far as, okay, I'm a Christian, I come to church, you know, I like it, it's good, but it's really not affecting in the way that it is that I live or the way that I think. We want to see the effect in our life from when it is that we first are those, because we have some here that haven't been in the church that long, have been baptized here in Charlotte, and we want to see that growth so that we can rejoice more as we rejoice at the beginning. We want to continue that rejoicing. And that is when it is that we see what God is able to do in our life, because he's going to continually work in our life and work with us and show us things about ourselves, things that we need to change. He's going to show us where we have changed, and we're going to rejoice and say, hey, I used to be like this, but now, hey, I don't do that. I don't even think that way anymore. That's not a part of my life. I've changed. And people will recognize that, and we'll be able to say to people, hey, yeah, I used to do that, but I don't do that. I don't live that way. I don't even think about that anymore, you know, because of what God has done in my life. And so we want to be so thankful for that and to continue in that way. You know, we want to keep our eyes on Jesus. If we do that, that's going to continue to be there in our life. You know, you remember Zacchaeus over there in Luke 19? You know, when Jesus was coming through, he was coming through town, and Zacchaeus is he's this tax collector, and he's rich. And being a tax collector and being rich, he collected money from his brethren, the Jews, and gave it to the occupiers, and then he kept a part for himself. And so he was rich. And so those people were not liked very well. They were pretty much despised because of how it is that they work with the occupiers. But there he was when Jesus was coming through, and he wanted to see Jesus. He was looking for Jesus. And you can imagine, here it is, as far as these people who are, you know, they're pious and they're seeking to live godly. And here it is, this man who's a tax collector. And so, you know, he's small of stature, and I don't see him getting very close, you know, especially the people that say, hey, get back. You know, we don't want you around here anyway. You know, I can imagine, as far as people say, Zacchaeus, that's that tax collector. But Zacchaeus, he wanted to see Jesus. And so we know the story, how it is that he went and climbed a tree, you know, and the way that Jesus was coming through so that he could see. And he didn't realize that he was going to see Jesus closer than he thought. Because when Jesus got there, what did he say? He says, hey, come down, because I'm going to your house today. But Jesus wanted to bring him to his house. And he wants to bring us. Another story about the ones who are in Mark in chapter 2, the friends of the paralytic. Couldn't get to Jesus. They wanted the paralytic get in to see Jesus because they knew that Jesus was healing. They knew Jesus had what they needed. And they wanted to see him, and they wanted to have their friend healed. But they couldn't get to him. So they decided they're going to go up in the roof, and they tore the roof off enough to get this paralytic man down to where it is that Jesus was so that he can be healed. And when Jesus saw that, he was just seeing the faith that these men had. You know, he made mention of that. There are going to be things that hinder us from seeing Jesus. Things in our life from hindering from seeing Jesus the right way, from obtaining what we need from him. But we, like they, sometimes it may take something extraordinary for us to get rid of that. We might have to climb up higher if we're going to see Jesus. We can't stay in a low place where it is that we are, because we're going to miss out on some things. And so sometimes we need to climb so that we can see. If we get down into some type of a low place, don't stay there. Because you're not going to be able to see Jesus in that low spot. You got to get up on higher ground. There's going to be some obstacle in your way from seeing him. And you got to remove that. You got to tear it down. There's going to be things in our life that we have to tear down sometimes so that we can see Jesus. And so we look and we examine ourselves, and what's blocking us from Jesus? Because we're going to keep looking to him, because he's got what we need. In Matthew in chapter 10, the Lord gives us his admonition in our verse 37 and 39. He says, who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. You know, the Lord's not He's not of the mind here as far as, well, you know, I want you to just love me. You know, if you love somebody else, you know, then that's not good. No, of course we love our relations. And, of course, he wants us to love them in the right way. But he says, if you love father and mother more than me, you're not worthy. And so whatever relation that we put before Jesus and even ourselves, if we don't take up our cross and follow him, and the reason for that is because we're putting ourselves before him. We're loving ourselves more than him. We take up our cross and follow him. Because if we're selfish and we're just thinking of ourselves, we'll find a life, but it won't be the life that we need to have. We'll find a life, but then we'll lose the one that we should have. What happens sometimes is we can get caught up when it is that we, our desires towards self is that we want people to please us. We do. A wife wants her husband to please her, and if he's not doing what he needs to do that, if he's not focused on her like, and she's not gonna like that. And the same thing, a husband. I'm a husband, and hey, I realize sometimes as far as you know that you know I was seeking so much from my wife. But and the same thing can be with children or parents, with a job. We can't get from those things what we need to be getting from Jesus. We can become so distraught sometimes because, you know, that this is not right. We can build ourselves up and we can set define a worth of ourselves. That's not good. Let's let God set the worth for us, because it's much higher than what it is that we would set. Much higher. Ours is just, when we set our worth, it's just out of the way. It's not right. It's skewed. You know, we want our rights, and it's right for you to do this for me and to treat me this way and to serve me like this. Maybe it is. Maybe it is. But we'll never be satisfied if we're putting those things before Jesus. The only one who can truly satisfy us and what we really and truly need is him. God's the only one. It's not going to be my friend. It's not going to be the doctor or the lawyer. It's going to be Jesus. Now, when it is that we're following Jesus and we're doing what it is that we should be doing and seeking him and serving him the way we should be, he's going to give us the wisdom of how to be fulfilled in all those different relationships. If we seek it our own way, we may never obtain it. But if we set ourselves and we're going to follow what it is that Jesus wants us to do and the way he wants us to do it and have the selfishness and be the servant, or we're ones as far as that he taught us, as far as if we wanna be the greatest, then we're gonna be servants of all. And so rather than having that selfishness and seeking someone to serve us, what are we doing? If we're following Jesus, eyes on Jesus and looking what it is that he did, he says, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. And so that's where our focus is if our eyes are on Jesus, is to serve. And in that, and that wisdom of God, then we'll find fulfillment. And that's what we want. Yeah, we want fulfillment. We just got to seek it in the right way, in the right place. And we'll have it. And we'll be able to rejoice. We'll be happy. And we'll praise God for it. And he'll be glorified. And that's what it is that we want. Hebrews in chapter 12, verses 2 through 4. Is looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy that was set before him of bringing salvation to his people, He was willing to go through that great suffering that we remember this morning when he gave himself to die for us. He despised the shame. He didn't care for the shame. It was okay for him being shamed and being beaten, spat on, hung on a cross. That was all right. But we find ourselves sometimes in our selfishness, we don't want to go through struggles when it is that something is going to be difficult for us to live according to what God's will is, to do the right thing and following Jesus. If it's difficult, then we sometimes balk at that, don't we? It's the flesh. But we have to push this flesh and seek to overcome it. Because our eyes are on Jesus, and we saw what he did, and that's what it is that we want to be followers of. We want to look to Jesus. It says, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed striving against sin." And so it's telling us, look, we need to really strive against sin. It's just an illusion that seeks to draw our attention away from Jesus. And we strive and we fail. But Jesus, he's willing, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, and he'll forgive us. He'll forgive us of our sins, and we'll be righteous. He endured the worst for us. He doesn't require of us to do the worst. The things that we suffer through, they're not nothing like what it is that he went through. We look to him and keep our eyes on him, we'll be able to do things that perhaps at one time we thought that we couldn't. Because we have examples of men who did amazing things, like in Matthew in chapter 14. We see the time when it is that the Lord had sent the disciples on, and he went to pray. And he stayed for some time, and then he came late at night on the water, and there was a storm. And they saw him walking on the water and were afraid. But he let them know that it was him. Matthew 14, and I'll start there in verse 28. Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." You know, the things that around about us that happen in life, they'll cause us to take our eyes off of Jesus and look at our circumstances. And if we look too long at those circumstances, they can cause us to begin to sink. To sink away from what it is that we, or where it is that we should be in Christ. But like Peter, we just call out, "Lord, we're still there. He's always there." We take our eyes off of him and we start to look at these things around about us, things in our life, but he's there. All we got to do is look in the right direction and call out. And he'll save us. Sometimes he'll say, "Peace be still," like he did in the one storm when he was in the boat and asleep. And they were all afraid, "We're going to perish." And he got up and said, "Peace be still." And they were amazed. They looked at him like they hadn't seen him before. And sometimes, you know, in our life, we'll look at Jesus like that. When he does something amazing in our life, we'll look like, this is really something that's been done. But sometimes he won't still the storm, but he'll bring us through it. We just have to keep our eyes on him, and he'll bring us through. Philippians 3. Verses 10 through 17. The Apostle Paul says here that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. This is not that I have already attained. You see, remember, he taught us that we're to be dead in Christ. He says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold on that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold on me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who walk as you have us for a pattern. We want to keep our eye on the prize. And it's something that's valuable and it's worth pressing toward. We're going to be one day in the likeness of Jesus. When we see him, we'll be like him. Isn't that amazing? You know, we can hear that 100 times, but when we think about it, it's amazing. We're going to be like him. There's no more valuable prize than that. And it's something that we want to press toward. We want to press and we want to try to be like him as much as possible. Right here while we're living in this flesh. Oh, Paul, he hadn't apprehended it, and nor will we. But it's worthy of pressing toward. He's going to give it to us. But we don't want to be a people that, I'm going to get it, so, you know, I can just take it easy. I don't really have to care. I don't really have to, you know, I can live the way I want. We don't want to have that type of mindset. We want to be a people of sorts that, hey, since I've been given this, and he says I can have it, and one day it's going to be, and he wants me to try to focus on trying to be as much as I can like that now, let's do that. Let's press on. And to whatever degree that we have already attained that, let's hold to it. And let's follow the example of those who so walk. You know, we can put our eyes on ones that are walking like it is that we want to walk. And we don't want to be slack because, you know what? Somebody might have their eyes on you. And if you slack, then they may slack. And that's not good. So we want to press. Because someone who may be failing, they may be sinking. And they may be down and they can't see Jesus. But maybe they see me. And maybe they can say, hey, if I follow him, then I can get to see Jesus. And that's what we can do sometimes as far as that we can encourage someone as far as, you know, to put their eyes on Jesus. Hey, this is where Jesus is. Look this way. Look into his word. Pray in this situation. And you'll see what you'll need to see. You'll gain the wisdom that you need to live in a way that you need to live. Keep our eye on that prize. There's a song, and some of you may know it, I don't, and then Tom didn't know it either. So, but it says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's beautiful. Turn our eyes to Jesus and keep them there. Andrew mentioned that I lost a sister Friday night. I got a call about 2 in the morning. She had been sick for some time. Heart failure, heart disease runs in my family. I've had 3 elder, my mother, my grandmother, and uncle died with heart problems, and she had her valve replacement some years ago, and she was on the blood thinners. She really couldn't eat properly because of the blood thinners. There's certain foods she couldn't get the nutrition she needed, and she was diabetic. And she was getting smaller and smaller and weaker and weaker. And, you know, the daughter that I'm close to, I talked to her this past year and told her, let your brothers and sisters know that, you know, it may not be very long. And I got that call Friday night. And when I talked to the daughter, you know, because she's very weak sometimes. She can't keep her sugar moderated the way it's up and down. And she, you know, it's just difficult for her to eat properly, to keep it right. And but her daughter said she was doing good Friday. My dad says he had helped her get a car running because she was having to ask people for transportation. And she was happy, and, you know, she had told him, you know, I got my car running now. I don't have to ask anyone to take me anywhere. You know, I can drive it myself. And she was doing good until it is that a son came home who was staying there with her to take care of her. He came home, and he said she got up off the bed, and she fell back and died. Doctors are saying it's not a heart attack. The doctors are saying it's natural causes. But she's dead. In Ecclesiastes 9 and 12, it says, man doesn't know his time. And even though that we knew that she may not last very long, we still were shocked when it happened. No one had any idea that it would be Friday night. And we don't know when it is that we will go either. Whether we are ill or whether we're healthy, people are dying. And so I want to say that if you don't have a relationship with Christ, now is the time for that. That's not something as far as where it's going to happen to you where one day I got Jesus. It doesn't happen like that. You have to make a decision. You have to make a decision before that time comes. Zacharias was seeking Jesus. But you know what? Jesus was seeking Zacharias. Zacharias was a sinner. He repented of all the things that he had done. All the money that he had taken wrongly, he said he'd give back. Jesus is not only seeking Zacharias. He's seeking you. He's seeking me when I sin to turn from my sin. He has the power for us to overcome sin in our life. In Acts in chapter 2:37, when it is the men there realize the sin that they had on their souls, they ask, men and brethren, what shall we do? And they were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So this morning, if it is that you don't have a relationship with Jesus, now is a good time. If you're willing, he's already done all the work. He's died on the cross. He shed the blood that was pure. If you just decide that I need to look to him for my salvation, you can come forward this morning as we sing. Or if you have sin, Jesus is seeking you. Come forward, and if you need prayers, the church will pray for you. We'll do whatever it is that we can, you know, to help you look to Jesus.